because it's going to call not only for massive demonstration, but actually some analysis on how we have to deal with this. Because after we stopped him from murdering Mumia Abu-Jamal, there are other people in the pipeline. For instance, there's an Asian brother who I believe is scheduled to be executed up here, I think at San Quentin, November 17th. And so what we want to do is we want people to show up. We want people to show up ready, not only to demonstrate, but to be able to ready to be reorientated to get back down to business. And what's important, not only about Mumia, Mumia found out about my father's murder and not only contacted me and endorsed this tribunal, but he's laid his weight behind it, and he's actually offered his own strategy and what he feels is one of the issues that can be used to stop police brutality in the conference, and that will be disseminated at the conference, and it, of course, will be discussed. So in addition to the tribunal, we're going to have, let me back up, well, there'll be at least 9 different panels outside of the tribunal. One will be dealing with legal issues related to this. The second one will be hate crimes. As we know, Matthew Shepard was violently murdered because of his sexual orientation. There'll be a political prisoners as well as prisoners, another panel dealing with the prisoner industrial complex. There'll be a cop prosecution. How do we prosecute these dirty cops? Because what we found out is you guys in Santa Cruz allowed one of those dirty cops off of your force without prosecuting him when he was up there harassing homeless people to come down there and murder my father. He was one of those who were involved. His name is Joseph Rapinian. Has a dirty record. He's also killed another African-American down in the city who was mentally ill. So he has a propensity to do it. But he was allegedly ran out of Santa Cruz for doing this type of activity up there.
What was his name again?
His name is Joseph Bertania. He was an officer up in Santa Cruz.
Could have been one of the Code Blue officers that were discharged in 1982 when the conspiracy in the police department was revealed of people who got together to beat up homeless people with badges on. Unfortunately, some of the folks are still on the mall.
Wow.
The sergeant who was involved, who was the head of the Police Officers Association, Bob Hennig, and Bob, you can rush to your libel lawyer, and if you'd like right now, your slander lawyer, I'd be happy to see you in court on this one. He was head of the Police Officers Association and fought to maintain the same chain of command that created and allowed the brutal attacks on homeless people. Right now, of course, the attacks on people are more subtle in this area generally, although when the police start shooting, as in the case of Happy John Dine or Brian Andrus or other folks as well, Carlos Machado, they kill. You were talking to Alade Jehuti Mus, is that correct?
Exactly.
And Alade, you are also the son of Charles Vaughn Sr., who was shot down by police in Seaside in May, and have been working ever since to not just bring justice to your father's memory, but to make sure that such things stop happening across the country.
Right. I think the one thing, Robert, that's very important to understand is, one, it made it a little easier for me being an activist and being raised in an activist family to already have that network to be able to help assist and to automatically, in the name of my father, to want to fight the good fight. What I'm asking people to do is, because what we realize is that not only are people being killed, but they're being shamed. See, families, once this happens to a family, the family typically goes into a position of being on the defense. When in fact, if it was revealed what truly happened, these officers would be incarcerated. And the one thing that people have always said, well, because we have a Republican administration in office, we can't get any help, which was true under Dan Lundgren. Now, with this new little internal revolution of placing the Democrats there, we're going to really see the true face of democracy.
Don't hold your breath.
Well, one of the things about it, though, is that we want to give everybody an opportunity to participate. So I'm saying again is that the people in Santa Cruz, you guys have a long history, a very powerful and a very positive history of organizing and being at the forefront of the movement. I know that some of the old leaders have changed hats. I'm telling you that the youngsters, that those who still believe in human rights, show up at the National Tribunal and become a part of the national movement. The other issue I'd like to raise is that we are actually calling for the year 2000, a march in Washington. But what we want to do is we want to make sure California takes its rightful place. That means that Santa Cruz needs to be present. Mike Smith has done a great job from the Peace and Freedom Party. We know that he can't do it all by himself from Santa Cruz. Therefore, we're calling to you to take your place and help set the agenda. And because it's a broad agenda, our tent is going to be big, but the one thing we're not going to do is we're not going to sacrifice our morals for justice. And that's the one thing Santa Cruz has done over time and time again. They have stood up. They have been a beacon of light. I know that the national media is not given the recognition that you deserve. They never do it, but it is stations like this that actually take their rightful place. So I would say continue to stand strong. Call on us. That's the one thing about it is that during this tribunal, we're going to develop a strategy. And then we spoke, Robert, about you raised some really some terrific questions, because one of my colleagues called me after we spoke about this, your issue that you raised about these tribunals going from city to city, and as far as how do we police our own communities. I mean, is there a certain point where we have to get back down to basics and get to know the person who's living next to us? These are the types of issues that also must be discussed, because when you dial 911 for a non-emergency issue, you are at times calling for a death warrant on someone, or perhaps yourself.
You know, it's interesting you should say that, because we had on the air after the shooting of Brian Andrus the woman who did dial 911, and she just has not been able to forgive herself yet. Andrus was not shot dead. He was shot 5 times. Bullets ricocheted around his daughter's house, and he's now charged with 4 separate felonies. So that's still happening for him in this trial coming up on November 16th. But, I mean, certainly that's the truth, and I think when I asked you about that, I was wondering how we in Santa Cruz can deal with the issue of police brutality once the tribunal comes and goes. I mean, I'm certainly going to be down there tomorrow, and I'm inviting everyone else to come down. This is going to be at Monterey Peninsula College, and it's going to be November 6th in the evening, what, starting about 5:30?
It's actually, registration begins at 6. There's actually no cost. We just ask that you come prepared to have open ears to be able to add to the conversation, or just to come and take notes.
Now, I heard you correct. That was no cost, right?
No, absolutely no cost.
And is there a place for people to sleep who have no place to sleep?
We actually do have some limited housing, which I know is filling up relatively quick. But if you bring sleeping bags, we can fit you in on floors. And as well, there's also camping that we're aware of. People are going to be camping. So what we want to do is we want to be able to unite with our brothers and sisters in Santa Cruz. Not under the old days, but under the new days, where the actual people actually are taking advantage of the opportunities that we can make for ourselves. We no longer need to wait for the politicians, for the police. We need to be more proactive. As opposed to waiting for the next person to be murdered or harassed, I'm asking you to come out, stand with us. Let's take our place. California showed a little bit of leadership in this last election, but we know that the people, the true people who are actually suffering from these constant human rights violations, will not be heard if we don't stand up. This is an opportunity to participate on a national level, and we want everybody. We want from the anarchists, we want, you name it, you need to be a part of this.
You're talking about anarchists, you're talking about socialists, you're talking about Democrats, you're talking about environmentalists, you're talking about anybody who is concerned about police misconduct and violence, right?
Exactly. And not only police misconduct, but systemic human rights violations. Because of what happens is that by us separating, for instance, police brutality from the violations that take place under the environmental movement, there's a typical way of saying that these are just a few people who are radicals. But what I'm saying is, if we can unite, we will stand up in your struggle with you. But the thing is, you need to be able to educate people to your struggle. The
right.
Only way you can do that is to be able to be there and participate.
A traditional strategy of the ruling class has been to kind of, and liberals, has been to separate these things into little categories. And if you don't fit into the particular criterion of the category, then, you know, you're in another category. And so it's not your struggle. And that, I think, has really been bad. We've been struggling in Santa Cruz to come to some conclusions as to what to do in terms of citizen police review boards, which even in the strongest cases, I guess Berkeley is one of the strongest, have been ineffectual and, I don't want to say useless, but not very useful at all in dealing with real problems of the violence by armed police authorities. And the tribunal is an idea that we thought about after Happy John was shot and we saw there was going to be no independent investigation. The idea has come up to have a tribunal that operates on a weekly basis with public hearings so that people can come and present complaints. Police officers will be represented if they don't choose to appear by an ombudsperson. And, you know, we certainly don't have the resources that you've been able to get together and bully for you on this, you know, for down in Monterey, but just a small local tribunal that people at least can air their grievances to and know that they're going to be heard in the community, even if they don't have any official standing. That's what I'm proposing here in Santa Cruz.
I mean, it sounds really good, and I'm going to tell you this, is that from your idea, in adding another person, it can go. Because of what you're going to find out is that the people who have been harassed and abused will come forward and give you your strength. That's which changed in the 90s, whereas before the families were shamed and the family members were criminalized as well as the person who was killed. Through my organizing with October 22nd Coalition, which just had our third national day of demonstrations, which was very successful, held throughout 55 cities in the U.S., as well as Canada. And the one thing that's happened is that the families are standing up. The families used to be a taboo to have a person that was killed. It's not the end thing. We don't want to have other people join us. And so the way for us to do this is to be able to go out there and agitate. The reason why I believe that the folks who are involved in the police brutality, the prison, and other human rights violations should be at the forefront of this movement is because we have the most to lose. Poor people have the most to lose in this system. Therefore, we should be the ones who determine our own direction. And that's why I'm calling the people from Santa Cruz participate in this national action.
Now, it looks like we have five states that have decriminalized medical marijuana, and yet, of course, we see in all these states the repressive apparatus of the government in action. The drug war seems to be a big fueler of a lot of this violence. Is there going to be any discussion of that in this conference?
Yeah, we're going to actually, there's actually going to be some, one of the people, Dorsey Nunn, who is the chair of the criminal consortium up here in the Bay Area, will be able to really speak to that. We know that the actual drug war is actually a war on the people. There's no question anymore, just like there's no question that COINTEL is behind Mumia Abu-Jamal being locked up. So there's certain things that you have to take that are factual. We know that the CIA pumped drugs into the minority communities. There's absolutely no doubt anymore. So that's one of the issues is how do we deal with this prison industrial complex? And I think the critical resistance, the conference they had up here a couple months ago was a very, very great start by activating people, orientating people to the key issues. The one thing that we have to do, though, is we have to find that common ground. We have to find that only through that common ground. I went up and spoke up at Corcoran. I think it was Prison Focus and that organized this car caravan a few months ago. And I went up to Chowchilla, to the women's prison, as well as to Corcoran, where they had staged these men as far as cockfights. They'd organized them in a fashion that they would set them up and they would actually shoot one, either the loser or the winner, whichever they chose to shoot. Now, a few of those guards were indicted. There was other issues where they were actually throwing prisoners inside of cells to be raped as a form of retaliation because I believe actual people had spit on a guard and they used that as a form of retaliating. So what I'm saying to you is human rights violations are universal and they're here in our own backyard.
I think that's your phone ringing there. We are really privileged tonight to have with us Alade Jehudi Amos. Alade, are you still with us?
Yes.
Boy, and you're going to be at this conference tomorrow. And this conference is, how do we get to it, and
okay.
What should we bring?
Okay, I would say bring sleeping bags if you plan on staying overnight. We'll find a way to accommodate you if you don't mind sleeping tight. The other thing is bring your voice. We need all of the ideas. We need the old guard who still believe that change is possible. And we believe that we will actually set the agenda. We will not, we refuse to allow the what we're going to call the ruling class to set our agenda. And what I'm saying is, yes, if you want to change, this will be the tribunal. And I'm not for sure when the next time we can gather all these people from across the country, but now is the time. Let's not lose this opportunity.
So how, where do people go?
Okay, you can go to the Monterey Peninsula College. It's 980 Fremont Street in Monterey, off of Highway 1. You take the Monterey exit. Very first left you make will actually put you right on the campus. You'll make the first left, and that is the campus right there. So if you took the Monterey exit, you would get there. But let me give you another number that you can reach us at. There's a 408 number. It's 644-8610. Once again, that's area code 408-644-8610. Or you can email us at Dirty Cop Tribunal. That's one word, dirtycoptribunal@hotmail.com. I once again would like to really start off by thanking you, Robert, for continuing your progressive ways, having me on here to be able to explain to people that we do have another option available, and it's empowering ourselves and our communities. It's not basically having a top-down leadership. It's having the people. I look forward to the people from Santa Cruz. Once again, you know, I've lived there, and I know that, in fact, the people can be empowered. So let's work together and make change.
All right, and Alade, we'll be calling you back probably in a week or two to keep updated on what's going on with your the investigation around your father's killers and police brutality in Monterey generally. And we're also going to be concerned, of course, about the outcome after this conference, what the next steps can be.
Right. There will be transcripts for those who are unable to make it. We need people who are strategists. We need people to help us as far as planning out the strategies for California in regards to the national march. We need all types of people, so don't discount yourself by what you haven't done in the past, because there is opportunity. And I'm not going to stay on the phone much longer, because I can see people are starting to call.
I'm going to let you go, and I want to thank you very much for being with us. We've been talking to Alade Jehuti Mas of the, I guess tomorrow, the National Tribunal on Police Brutality and Misconduct. If you want any further answers on how to get there, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I'll pass on the word to you. Thanks a lot. And thank you very much, Alade, and we'll be getting back to you again.
All right, Robert. Thank you again, and power to the people.
Hey, see you tomorrow.
Oh, we worked and we fought for the little lights ours, and we're not gonna give it back. While you ride around in a Rolls Royce car, and we're not gonna give it back. You take away our bread and butter while you're drinking wine, and you send out the cops against the picket line. You tried it before, but I swear this time we're not gonna give it back. No, we're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back. No fear, we're not gonna give it back. Well, you want our wages and our benefits too, but we're not gonna give it back. To make less for us and more for you, and we're not gonna give it back. Your profits are higher than they've ever been. The economy's a mess 'cause you're greedy as sin, and you never will care what shape we're in, and we're not gonna give it back. No, we're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back. No fear, we're not gonna give it back. We won the right to bargain and the right to strike, and we're not gonna give it back. Now you think you can cancel them whenever you like, and we're not gonna give it back. Listen while I tell you about the rich and poor. It's what my mama told me all about the class war, and it's mighty plain to see what the union's for, and we're not gonna give it back. No, we're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back, no fear, we're not gonna give it back. It's the same old story about the wealthy few getting rich off the workers' back. You divide us up by giving jobs to two, while another two get the sack. Up to now you've had your ride for free, but we'll put a picket line around the whole country, and we'll set up a banner for the world to see that says you're never gonna get it back. No, you're never gonna get it back. You're never gonna get it back. You're never gonna get it back. No fear, you're never gonna get it back. No, you're never gonna get it back. You're never gonna get it back. You're never gonna get it back. No fear, you're never gonna get it back.
Okay, and we're back with Donna Dice, Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz. Hi, Donna.
Hi. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Donna, and you apparently are living day-to-day there as they attempt another retaliatory eviction against you, right? With me?
Yeah, well, that's up to the judge to determine, but yes, I'm sure it couldn't be any other thing.
So, what's the update? There's been a city council change. We have three new progressives in power.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean anything for tenants in Santa Cruz?
Well, I have to write them all a letter and find out, because most of the political candidates didn't really mention housing as an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know they talked a little about rent control for trailer parks at De Anza, and there was a little kind of outburst of support for rent control, an issue that has kind of been off the agenda since the 1982 failure to get council's broken ran in 1982 after their initial progressive victory in 1981, and here we are nearly 20 years later. What would you like to see this new council do?
As much as possible.
Yeah, indeed. Like?
Well, absolutely, we do need rent stabilization. I mean, a lot of people's rents are going up 25%, $200 a shot, $50 a month is, a lot for a lot of people, so it's certainly a lot higher than wages. And we need some emergency evictions protections that we drafted past.
Mm-hmm.
How people won't be put on this out the door thing that they tend to get on if they don't call us or get somebody to help them.
Mm-hmm. Any interesting cases coming up?
Well, I just had a tenant here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He had to overturn a default. His landlord is renting out a bunch of illegal units, garages, in fact, with no toilet, no stove, no anything, and they go out and pee against the fence.
Sounds familiar.
And, of course, the landlord claims she's broke and she's waiting for a FEMA loan when she owns, many units, three buildings at least. That should give her enough income. Plus, she has other income.
I mean, it makes you think that tenants should get together and just seize this property. I mean, what's the answer to changing this system? I mean, is there a legal answer?
Well, yeah, if we can fill up the court with a lot of cases, and if people refuse to move or refuse to pay their rent because of substandard conditions, and we try to organize that as a group, I think definitely we can get the attention of the media and the authorities.
So you think perhaps a general rent strike in Santa Cruz would be a good idea?
Well, Marco would probably go for that. That's always his method of dealing with it.
What about you?
Whatever the people decide they want to do in their hearts, I support. I think a lot of these things will happen spontaneously.
What if they support a return to a kingship and murdering every
well,
third
that's
person?
Well, the union can't possibly do that, can they, by definition?
No, but I'm wondering what you support. What do you feel? Is a rent strike a good idea? Is it something you recommend?
Certainly. If people are fed up with paying rent for substandard conditions, I'm always willing to go picket.
Well, I know that you and Paul were some
be
of the
there to stand off people that refuse to leave their home because they don't want to be homeless.
I remember back a month ago when you know, a lot of people were just talking and some others were beginning to come to city council meetings. You know, you and the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz were out there picketing on behalf of the Beach Flats people whose homes were going to be bulldozed. And that may have been stalled a bit, although I think Mercy Housing is planning to just tear down some homes to build some others in a program that still, you know, destroys housing instead of creating new housing stock or renovating housing stock that exists.
Yeah, I'd more or rather go on that angle of reclaiming substandard housing from county-certified slumlords and vacated housing and putting people to work and giving people a place to live.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about these new council members? Do you have any, are you enthusiastic
about
them?
Well, they're the three everybody said are the progressive ticket, so now we just have to test them out, right?
Definitely so.
I know you will, Robert.
Well, I'm hoping that Trusk will get some, you know, kick some strong proposals their way, and you can tell us what you think of them. See if they're responding in any real way. I mean, they have a majority. There are four votes on the council, if you include Catherine Byers, maybe five, including Rotkin, if he runs to, you know, go back to his left-wing origins. You know, I think that now that he's no longer in a position of power maker, no longer the shadow mayor, he may, you know, want to go the other side, or even Hernandez may start running, because Hernandez has to be reelected. And Rotkin can't be reelected in 2000, but Hernandez still has that option. Sounds like you may have an incoming call there. Hello?
Well, that was Donna Dice of the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, and this could be her calling back.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hail the progressive slate.
Oh, no, this is, sounds like to me like battling Bob LaMonica, the man, the voice of dissent at Free Radio Santa Cruz. Hi, Bob.
Robert, good evening. I thought it might be very, very interesting to delve into the latest developments of Mr. Art Danner's career.
Oh, well, I know that Art was supposedly, now he's vying for a judgeship.
Well, it's the typical way to remove allegations from hitting the front burner is that you elevate and promote the individual. And it would be highly unlikely if any of the substantial allegations were raised to the point where his judgeship appointment was challenged. It should be,
now,
but
it's
unlikely.
Let's summarize, Bob. You've launched at least two or three recall efforts against
him. Well, there was, there were...
Make this a brief summary.
All right. There were six notice of intentions filed. One of them failed, and that one of the 20 people was not properly registered. There were... There were seven notice of intentions. There have been six recalls on paper since Mr. Danner's fourth term was inaugurated.
But give us a brief as Bob, like in as few words as possible, of the two or three main concerns people should have about Art Danner, the specifics.
Well, specifically, we're talking about an immune slandering coward, and I'm not going to apologize for that language.
No, but
I think it is an outrage in this community, in Santa Cruz of all places, with the progressive slate in power, that they will look the other way and practice duck and cover when such a scandalous abuse of power officer remains in office.
Okay, specify again these
specific examples. I challenge anyone in this community to look the other way at this specific example. Very briefly, the victim of the district attorney's bodily injury car wreck is blood tested, and he is not.
1988.
1987. Now, these things don't happen in a vacuum, Robert. They happen because these types of individuals feel self-assured, arrogantly, that they can get away with whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. Well, what can the city council do, in your mind, Bob, to rectify the situation?
They can stand up for principle, just like they stand up for principles in East Timor, just like they stand up for principles with Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Just like they stood up for principles, presumably, in the Beach Flats.
Over redevelopment issues, I'm sure they're bold and courageous. When it gets down to recognizing and responding to abuse of power, they're pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a watershed issue in this town. Anyone that wants to look seriously and objectively at the track record of Art Danner and company, we ought to be ashamed that this can be tolerated.
So your suggestion is that the council members stand up and simply say, we don't want Art Danner as DA?
Absolutely. They have the power to proclaim, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Hail the progressive slate. But I bet you, and I hope I'm wrong, they will practice duck and cover, and they will say things like, they don't know enough about it, and I'll look into it, and all the standard ducks.
Mm-hmm. Well, perhaps we could get Jane Walton and Linda Steinow to stand up and say something like that.
No comment. Let me give one other example. We're talking, these things do not happen in a vacuum, and this is what we know that is highly documented. Yeah. Overlapping his election, this was the election of June of 94, the district attorney directs time cards to be falsified. This is highly documented. Mm-hmm. How dare we slough this stuff off and appoint the guy a judge? How dare we? We're hailed at the Santa Cruz Progressives. Where are they when it gets down to the substantial issues of recognizing and responding to abuse of power?
They're cowards. Sounds like one of them is on free radio right now talking about the issue. Because on this issue, you certainly are a progressive person.
I'll go along with that label by default, Robert, but one of the reasons why I do not like to identify with the so-called progressives is I just cannot stand their lack of approach to what should be one of the most substantial issues of our time, which is recognition and response to abuse of power. I find it absolutely disheartening and downright despicable to use that label progressive when such a scandalous group of individuals can be in control of the Santa Cruz County District Attorney's Office.
Well, let's kick them out, Bob.
Robert, thank you for letting me get on the air.
Thanks.
All right.
On Thursday night?
Yes, I was.
Any problems with the police officers?
Well, they just proceeded to give numerous tickets out for people walking their bikes, stuff like that.
Here at what's called Hippie Planet?
Right out here in the courtyard here, right in front of whatever the sandwich stand is here.
And how many tickets did you note actually being given?
Three.
And what were the tickets for?
There was a lady that was obviously riding her bike on the sidewalk, and one gentleman who proceeded to pull onto the sidewalk, 2 feet onto the sidewalk, get off his bike, and as soon as he stepped off his bike, they rushed him and gave him a ticket. And there was three officers there to give one guy a ticket.
What was the name of the officers involved?
One was the sergeant, I believe.
Sergeant? Not Sergeant Hennig, perhaps.
I believe so.
Balding fellow?
No, this is a very stout gentleman.
Sergeant Andy Crane?
There you go.
Thank you very much. And, thank you. Hacky sack again.
Thank you.
And remember to hug me next time you see me.
Okay, how about
a
hug now?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
An officer, Obel or Ope?
Over.
Over, yeah.
Perhaps. Or Eveleth?
No, there was three officers. One was, he's short and balding. I think his name is Ober.
Over?
Yeah.
There is an officer, Martin Over.
Yeah, I think that's...
This is all on Thursday, October 29th. About what time?
That's right. Approximately 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Right.
Within, you know, 20-minute proximity of either way.
And what were the, did any of these people, were they local, were they homeless, were they young?
The gentleman on the one bicycle was homeless, the lady that got a ticket here, I've never met her, so I couldn't say one way or another.
And who was the third person, what was that?
I didn't really see that whole thing transpire. It had to do with something about panhandling or
something.
Really? Yeah.
And this was all about what time?
Between the proximity of 8 and 10, all three tickets, and they stood here for the better part of an hour.
Did they seem to be looking for trouble, so to speak?
Sure, totally. Exactly, that's exactly what they were looking for.
What's the consequence of this on the people who are, should we say, hanging out at the planter? Is it tend to chill things?
Well, not much other than, you know, a little bit of tension, you know, because there are distinct feelings between most of the people that gather in the courtyard and the police, obviously.
It looks like they attempted to quote clear away people from Cathcart and Pacific a couple years ago when there was a scene down there that was, you know, kind of a friendly scene. Feed the People and Food Not Bombs were both serving there for a while. And of course then they started building and that kind of removed people, but also they removed people beforehand.
Totally.
You think that a similar process may be going on here?
I would believe that the exact same process is going around here. I'm under the understanding right now that San Francisco and a number of the other cities in the area here, in the Bay Area, are doing the exact same thing.
Where do you get this information from?
From the paper.
I saw that in the paper.
Oh, yeah. And also, I was brought to the attention about Susan V., I believe, versus the City and County of San Francisco. was just awarded a case about sleeping on the streets or something like that.
What did you hear about this?
A gentleman came up to me on the street and was telling me, and I'm going to look it up this afternoon on the internet just to find out some more information.
To get some more information, give us a call at the radio station, or call Huff, 423-HUFF, 423-4833.
Okay, great.
And your name is?
Jay Palmer.
Jay, we did talk to you on Tuesday, and
yes,
I'm glad to see you're still around. Get those, keep those reports coming in, and encourage the folks to file down to the Citizens Police Review Board, however useless they are, simply to make a record.
If this is this going to be on the air,
yeah,
possibly, I would like to reiterate the fact that anyone that's listening to this, if you'd like to come down and, you know, just see what's going on down here, maybe check it out yourself, we'd be more than happy to, you know, the kids that gather here are good people. We're not out to hurt anybody. We are not antagonizing the police in any way. We're just down here to have fun and socialize.
This is Lincoln and Pacific near the New Leaf Market.
Exactly. Right in front of New Leaf and Juice World.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Okay, it's about 6:30 on October 30th. We're out here in broad nightlight in front of Juice World talking to
John.
And John, you said there was a bad movie last night at Palookaville.
Yeah, well, a couple guys got in a fight and the security guards jumped them, and they way overjumped them. And when they overjumped them, they ended up putting a guy's head through a plate glass window, and it was a good thing he was wearing a hat, because if he hadn't been, he probably would have had a severely cut head and could have bled to death. So.
And you were inside or outside when this happened?
No, I was standing outside, and when the cops showed up, you know, the cops basically backed the security guards is the problem, and there needs to be somebody to keep the security guards in check is what's up.
Have you heard of other problems with the Palookaville security?
No, really, this was the first one, and it was serious overkill. And after putting the one guy's head through a window, they were then restraining another man on the ground, three or four of them, and threatening to hurt him if he moved. And they threatened to break his legs, and I said, if you do, I'm going to be a witness in a lawsuit, at which point they turned around and said to me, you shut up or we'll break your legs, get him out of here. And when I told the police that, I don't know if the police did anything about that, I told the officer on duty in charge when they showed up what was up. So,
Who are the security guards who made these threats?
You know, I really don't know them by name. It was the person that was working the door and some other people that came out from inside.
And this was last night about what time?
This was last night after the Scatellite show, so it must have been 1:30, something like that.
Well, it's really important to keep us advised of this. Thanks for, you know, sounds like Goon Squad stuff. We got to remember that a year ago it was a Catalyst bouncer that sicked the police on Happy John Dine, resulting in his death. So that was Ben Newman, the Catalyst. So got to keep your close check on these security folks. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
So we're still here at Hippie Planner talking to...
Yeah, my name's Woody Dead.
And you're...
Pops.
So you guys had an interesting encounter with a police officer at your campsite, right?
Yeah, we was over there at the levee, and a cop come over there. There was a lot of other brothers, but they come to us. His name was, what, Dave? What?
I got somebody else that's got the names, but he woke us up and he said if you had his way, he'd put a bullet in our head because that's the way to control the homeless.
And you, what did a cop look like?
He was really stocky, big, yeah, short hair, blonde. Yeah, I got other people who can come up with their names.
Did he give you a camping ticket?
No.
No, he didn't give us no ticket, man.
I know
why. He was just like, man, you know, when he said, I was like, I just woke up. Because, you know, we got an old woman that sleeps with us. Well, there was. She's 51 years old. And I woke up and I heard, you know, a different voice. So I woke up, and it was this cop, right?
Was this today, yesterday, day before?
Day before, because we slept someplace else last night.
So yeah. We're talking Wednesday morning?
Yeah.
And where was this on the levee? Where was this?
On the levee.
Like, straight along?
It was right behind the cemetery.
Yeah. Right behind the cemetery, yeah. And I had two cops come to me and say, okay, you have permission to be here as long as you keep it clean. The caretaker of the graveyard said, okay, you can stay there, just keep the dogs out. Well, the people that had the dogs, they had already left, so that was no big deal, but we tied the dogs up after that. But we had permission to be there, you know.
And how long had you been there before this rather nasty incident.
About a month. Yeah.
Yeah. Was this officer simply not informed, or what's your take on it?
I told him what the other two officers told me, and he called me a liar. Now, if I wanted to get arrested, I'd have got up and socked him in the eye, but he would have put a bullet in my head. I'm not a liar. I know what the two cops told me.
Remember the names of the officers who gave you that permission?
No, but one was male, one was female. I can kind of describe the female. She's a blonde, long hair.
Anybody else witness the comments about the officer made about the bullets?
Yeah, I was there.
You were there as well?
Paul was there. And another guy, the other guy that was there, he knows all the names and numbers and everything.
What's his name?
I can't remember, because when you camp, you just camp with brothers and sisters. It doesn't really matter what their name is.
What do you think? Is there more of a crackdown by the sleeping band these days or less? What's happening?
I think that they want to put a bullet in our head to control our population. I choose to live like this, okay? Because I'm tired of paying taxes. I'm tired of paying phone bills. I'm tired of paying electric bills. I'm tired of paying rent. Why can't I take my money and live the way I want to live? This is God's country. I'm supposed to be one of God's creatures. Why can't I live on this earth? I'm not homeless. I'm houseless.
How long have you been houseless?
I chose to do this about 6 years now.
And have you been pretty much in Santa Cruz?
No, I started in Arizona.
How long you been in town?
I've been here about 5 weeks.
How does Santa Cruz strike you?
I think Santa Cruz as a rule is pretty good, but I think the police department does definitely need some work.
And your name again is?
I'll give you my real name. I'm Bobby Eugene Thomas Jr., and I'm real pissed about this. Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Bobby. This will be on free radio on Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning between 11 and 1:30.
I don't have a radio. The police won't let me have one.
Okay. Well, if you can get to one, that's when it's going to be aired. So anything you want to say to the free radio audience?
I want to say that you need to watch out for the police department because they need a lot of work.
Thank you, Bobby.
You're welcome.
We're talking to a man who got a hacky sack ticket on Wednesday evening. I think that was the big hacky sack massacre. Six people got tickets, right?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Tim Hind.
And Tim, are you a man with a home, a man without a home, a local?
I'm a local transient.
Local. So you sleep outside?
Yeah.
And where were you doing hacky sack?
Right here.
Show us the area you were covering, honestly speaking. So give us an idea of how big a circle you had. So.
Right here.
So I'm walking around. Am I walking outside it or am I still inside it? Okay, so you looks like you were taking up about maybe half to a third of the sidewalk as we move across the crosswalk.
Not even a third.
Well, not going this way, but considering that access there.
We're kind of right here in actually.
So you actually were not even blocking the crosswalk area?
No.
And describe what happened that Wednesday evening.
Officer Over was just being a dick.
You mean Officer Over or Officer Headley?
Headley is what it is.
And what did Headley say? How did he approach you?
He said, he already warned a bunch of people here today and that we didn't get a warning, and we told him we didn't get a warning, and he just told us to, you're still getting all tickets, and I just said, whatever.
Would you be interested in filing a complaint again about this to the Citizens Police Review Board?
Yeah.
Because that can be done on Monday. All you got to do is walk in, spend 10 minutes filling out a form, and leave. And we're also talking to
Chad.
Chad, you were here on Wednesday night?
Yeah, so was.
And tell me what happened.
We were playing hacky sack, and the cops came and sat us all down, and that was about it. Took our names, gave us a ticket.
Warn you that you were, what did they claim, you were blocking the sidewalk, or that hacky sack was bad for your health, or what?
We were obstructing the sidewalk, yeah.
In your view, were you obstructing the sidewalk?
No, we were about 9 feet of clearance, leaving the sidewalk pretty clear, so.
So, how far out did your hacky sack extend? Show me, give me an idea of, walk the circle of where your hacky sack was.
About where the circle was?
Yeah. So you're walking, we're starting here. Walking around here. Looks like about a third of the sidewalk is clear in both directions. I'm sorry, two-thirds of the sidewalk is clear in both directions. You're at the corner here, right in front of the Eco Goods, but well away from the front of the store. How did the officer treat you?
He told told us to sit down on the ground, sit still until they handled all of us.
Sounds like maybe you were engaging in some sort of mass murder or something.
Activities, yeah.
Criminal hacky sacking, that's pretty heavy stuff.
Someone might get hurt.
So has this happened to you before?
No, never anything like that, just for hacky sacking. For skateboarding, no, it has, but...
Do you live in town, or...?
No, I'm just visiting.
And are you a man who sleeps outside at night?
No.
So you have a place to sleep?
Yes.
So you wouldn't call yourself homeless or houseless?
No, I'm not.
How long you been, where are you from originally?
Summit County, Colorado.
And how does it compare with Santa Cruz?
It's a lot different because everyone here is a dickhead, like the cops. They're all dicks.
How about the local population other than the police?
There's a lot of weird people here. It was more laid back there. A lot of weird people going on.
So you're planning on staying or leaving? Or?
Not for very long, yeah, leaving.
About 4:05, we're down here on the mall across from Del Mar Theater in front of the Sock Shop and Shoe Company, talking to that Free Love guitarist. What is your name, sir?
Eric.
And Aaron, you were up near Union Grove playing some music and something unfortunate happened to you?
No, actually I made a contribution to the police department.
Oh,
we gotta pay their bills too.
I see. So you're actually donating to the local gendarmerie.
Right.
What you got a ticket, in other words.
Exactly.
And I guess you're pulling that ticket out now. What happened?
Nothing.
You were just playing a song and somebody decided to give you a fine for it, huh?
Just practicing. I wasn't even singing.
Did you get a warning before you got the ticket?
No.
Just the ticket.
Right. Three guys come up, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah. I grew up in Oakland, you know, I'm used to people asking me for money on the streets.
I see. In blue with guns?
Yeah, knives, razor blades, shotguns, pepper spray, shit like that.
Did they give you any, did you have any discussion about it? Did they say anything about what they were doing?
No, I said just hand over the dough, please.
I see. No, I mean in this particular incident.
Yes.
What did they say?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Ticket. Eric, it looks like you got Officer Rapley, 440 on your back with a 9.60.010 municipal code.